Well, good morning, everyone. So good to see you this morning. A little trivia for you this morning. It has nothing to do with the sermon, but thought I'd share it. I was listening to the radio on the way home from the office yesterday. We had the men's ministry gathering, and I had to get some things ready for the service. And I was listening to the radio, and I found out that yesterday was World Beard Day. And I thought that was interesting. I've had a beard for 30 years, at least this one. And I've never heard of this. And so I looked it up on the internet when I got home, and sure enough, the first Saturday of September is World Beard Day. And this is what they said on the website. On World Beard Day, it is the customary for the bearded members of a family to relax and partake in no jobs or chores. I'm not done yet. The beardless members of the family traditionally show their support by waiting on the bearded hand and foot. I can tell you that did not happen. Maybe next year. Anyway, there is a story of a man who walked into church and late and made it just before the end of the service. And he whispered to the usher, "Is the sermon done yet?" And the usher replied, "The sermon has been preached, but it has not been done." God calls each of us to do a work. He didn't call us to just listen. And that's exactly what James is centering on his reading today. To do, not just to hear. Now, we talk about the Word a lot, and for good reason. God's Word is the source of light in life, as He has delivered His Word through us, and of course, the Word becoming flesh in Jesus Christ. Yes, they are words, but these words carry with them something that has endured throughout the ages, like no other words have. God wants us to understand His character and His love for those who choose to follow Him. So God's Word is always in the process of being done. Jesus said this, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Some can try to fight that all they want, but if God is who He says He is, and He is, nothing will change His Word. Jesus is telling us that His teaching and what He says will come to pass and is truth. But in the process of that, we are going to be walking through this world around us, aren't we? We're going to face all kinds of things around us. So James gives us some pointers to guide us through all that so our hearts and our minds can be in sync with each other. James wrote, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Now, many might be thinking, well, I really don't want to go through a trial. And I certainly don't want to call it pure joy when I do go through a trial. So he goes on to say, because you know that the testing of your faith develops what? Perseverance. Trials bring about testing of our faith, not to be confused with temptation, which is enticing us to walk to be away from God. As one commentary put it, God always tests us to bring out the best. Satan tempts us to bring out the worst. A trial will encourage you to put your faith into action. A trial will encourage you to go through with what God is calling you to do. You see, God knows me better than me, and He knows you better than you. Remember when I shared when I went up to go to orientation 20-some-odd years ago when I went to seminary, and I came back with the attitude that I'm not going to go through this. I can't do this. 18 years out of college, I cannot do this. And I came back with that attitude, and then He got my attention through that time of prayer that we sat down with that person. He knew I needed that to get me to understand something. I'm not alone in this. If he has called me, he will lead me. He knows we will face obstacles. He knows there will be naysayers. He knows our faith will be tested at times. But out of that comes strength in trusting God and his word. Temptation, on the other hand, will be the enticement to do something that is contrary to the will of God. Temptation has the single purpose to take your mind and your thoughts in the long run, you, into another direction away from God. Its cause is to cause you to sin. But out of our willingness to listen to God and out of our willingness to step away from temptation, we are taught perseverance. James says, don't be deceived. Every good gift comes from the Father. He wants us to succeed in our relationship with him. He has given us a wonderful place to carry out his work in this place here and in this community here. So how do we do that? How do we get there? How do we get to the point of moving when God says move? How do we resist temptation? Well, James goes on in our reading today. He said, take note of this. That means listen. What I'm about to tell you is very important. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I'm not going to ask a show of hands of how many of us are quick to listen, slow to speak, or slow to become angry. I'll raise mine because I'm guilty of those at times. But a great example of this is Peter in the garden. They were coming for Jesus to arrest him. Jesus knew what was about to happen. It had to happen to be fulfilled in the scriptures and for Jesus to do what he came to do. But Peter was slow to hear. He wasn't listening to what Jesus had just told him. He was quick to speak, as he was prone to do before he got the Holy Spirit on him. And he was quick to anger when he almost killed a man in the process. Anger is one of those emotions, if not kept in check, can cause a lot of harm to others and to ourselves. So James is reminding us to listen to everything. Slow down in our response. Let it soak in, and then listen to what God is saying in these circumstances. Again, it's a matter of the heart. You see, every true believer has had a heart change. And when you said yes to Jesus, the Spirit within you comes alive. You are grafted to the Father. And Jesus reminds us that it is from the heart that God's Word springs forth. Why wouldn't it? If God's Spirit is in us, then His truth is in us, His Word is in us, it comes alive in us. That's why he emphasizes in getting rid of moral filth, as he calls it, that which hinders us. And that is where this battle with temptation comes back into play. Sin is enticing. It can be fun initially, but its intent, again, is to destroy you in the long run. Ask any drug addict how they got started. I've known quite a few over the years. Many started on an enticement that they would have this wonderful experience. Some were running from something else and wanted to drown out whatever it was that was hurting them with anything else. Ask any criminal who has seen the error of their ways, how they got started. And again, I've talked to quite a few over the years. The common thread that is of that enticement is to accomplish a shortcut to success, whatever it takes to get what they're looking for. Those are some of the extremes. But you name it, greed, lust of the flesh, whatever it might be, has at its root to draw you away from God. James says, get rid of it. Look at our gospel reading and what Jesus had to say about this. The Pharisees were criticizing Jesus' disciples for eating without washing their hands. It was a ritual of religious tradition. But when you're walking from place to place and it's time to eat and you're hungry, you do what you have to do. But to the Pharisees, eating with unwashed hands was a sin. They had built up such walls centered on traditions of these religious laws that they lost something. It's not that it was not bad to wash your hands before you eat. Traditions may be okay, but tradition will not save you. Jesus gave them an example to clarify that. Jesus said, what comes out of a man makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make one unclean. In other words, washing your hands or not washing your hands is not going to cleanse the heart where sin resides. We don't like talking about sin too much, but sin is like a shackle around our necks that's holding it, whatever it is, it binds you. Accepting Christ releases us from those shackles to live a life that is truly free. Then we began to walk in this wonderful relationship with the Father through Christ by His Spirit. And out of that relationship, God's Word becomes a part of who we are. But listen to James as he goes on to say, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at himself in the mirror and after looking in himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. How many of you have looked in a mirror and forgot what you look like when you walked away? Some of us might wish we'd forget what we look like. We use a mirror for a reason. The reason is that to make sure you're looking okay. You want to make sure your hair is parted in the right place. And make sure that your buttons are in line and none are missed and the collars and everything are okay. The mirror is there so we can examine what we look like. Are we okay? The point is, we can't just take this wonderful word that God has given us, read it, and then just put it away somewhere. He really has given us a blueprint of His love for us to guide us. We need to do something with it. One thing that we do with it is to examine ourselves with it. How am I doing? Are there some areas in my life that aren't lining up? If so, what can I do to make it right? The other thing we need to do is apply it to our lives, living out what it says. When I worked at Lockheed Martin, a part of my job in occupational safety and health was approving blueprint drawings as they came out of facilities engineering. I had to make sure that as new programs came in the defense industry, there's a lot of programs changing, moving around, that when those programs took place, that they're operating safely and doing the things they need to be doing. As with any building, anything, if you don't follow the design, people get hurt. God's Word is a blueprint for our lives, so to speak. He wants us to carry through this life by following Him in the Word. And not in the world. He has designed us for a purpose, to be in fellowship with Him by our own free will. And He has given us His Word for a reason, to put it into action, to allow His Word again to become part of who we are. His Word is alive, and it does come alive through His Spirit. We still have a free will to shut it down, and we can still hinder it by allowing sin to come into our lives, as James warns about. But look what he says about putting it into action. He says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law and gives the law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Do you believe that God wants to bless you? He does. Nothing can be more fulfilling than to know that God is taking you through this life and blesses you. Again, this doesn't mean that we never face challenges in life. But just knowing he is walking us through those challenges is a blessing. What a wonderful promise he has given us. In closing, I want you to know this. Let his word come alive in you. Read it. Pray through it. Allow it to become a part of who you are. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you on this journey that he has for you in this life that he has given you. It's so short, but it's full of blessing if you let him walk you through it. This is a fact. Again, his word will never pass away. And as James says, take note, it will never pass away. And out of that comes a life that is filled with his glory, filled with his promises, and filled with his presence as we allow the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ in our lives to come alive and to guide us on this journey that he has for us. Allow his word to get done in your life. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. So much that you gave us your word, Lord God, that you are always with us. And you want to guide us through this life that you have given us on this journey. So, Father, we ask that each person here be so anointed by your Spirit that you would guide them, Lord God. And as they leave this place today and go into the mission field that is Sarasota, Bradenton, that you allow them to be used mightily because your word says so, Father. That you will guide us by your Spirit as we open our hearts up to you. So, Father, open our hearts. Fill us with your presence. Allow us to get rid of the stuff that blocks those things that you want us to do. That we can hear you clearly. And that you want to use us mightily, Father, wherever we are and whatever we are doing. To be your ambassadors to the world around us, whether it's in school, in work, in retirement, it doesn't matter, Father. We are always out there for you. So, Father, use us, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.